stuff, and when you learn songs, and when our praise team learns a new song, you always learn by repetition. And that's a biblical principle. Of course, Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10, God says, how, and he's speaking to the nation of Israel, but he says, how am I going to talk to this people? How am I going to train them up? How are they going to learn? And then he says, as a child learns, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little, there a little. And so we learn by repetition. Matter of fact, when you went into elementary school, how did you learn the alphabet? A, B, C, D, E, F. What comes after you? A, B, C, D, E. And you'd have to go through the whole song, wouldn't you? You would too. Some learned the Gettysburg Address, the entire thing, by just singing it. And you would learn. When I was a kid, I used to work with my uncle. We DJ weddings and parties. And I grew up on the oldies. And the first, I didn't learn John 3:16. The first verse of the Bible I learned was actually the first 12 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Everybody remember the birds? Turn, turn, turn. If you learn that set, to everything, turn, turn, turn. There is a season, turn, turn.
Bunch of sinners.
And a time. But it's the scripture. It's the scripture.
Oh, okay, okay.
It was absolutely Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 12. A time to be born, a time to die, a time for this, a time for that, and all that stuff. You learn by song. But here's the idea. If you were to write down a specific verse in a song, you'd have to sing it, or you couldn't write it down. I'm telling you the truth. In a way, in a manger, what looks down where Jesus lay? Heathen.
See, you had to sing it, though.
But they
right?
did, yeah. See, they're singing it.
Don't
you
sing.
Have to yeah. sing that song in order to get the answer. You can't just come out of it out of your head. So repetition is how we learn. Repetition is, but sometimes it gets old, right? Sometimes doing the same old thing gets old. And you've got to make it alive. You get tired of hearing it. You know, the Righteous Brothers, I think they sang, "You lost that loving feeling." And sometimes when you hear a song so much, you're just like, oh, gosh, if I hear that song one more time. And most of the people at Christmas time, when they hear those Christmas songs, yeah, by December 26th, they're like, yeah, okay, radio station, turn that off. I'm tired of hearing that stuff. We get tired of it. But here's the idea. Have you lost your song? You know, when I got saved, man, I loved it. Jesus Christ changed my life forever. I began to sing. I began to have a song in my heart every day, and it didn't matter what happened. And then I began to grow up, get old, life happens, and you lose your song. Have we lost our song? And if so, why? You know, the song that Jesus gives should never stop. 365 days a year. How many of you remember the old game show, Name That Tune?
I see where this is going.
I have some songs here that I know you're not prepared for, so we'll see how good you really are.
Jeez.
Just a couple of them I've come up with.
All right, just so you all know, like, literally no music, okay? This is just words on this.
Yeah.
So what, you want me to play these?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, just, I mean, can you do that?
Just right now.
Yeah, just start off with number one. When you know it, say it out.
All right, well, let me, like, this is going to
take if, I mean, if it sounds close. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. That's good.
Okay.
They named that in three notes.
Okay.
That's not too bad. I'm amazed.
See how good I am.
That's actually pretty good. Okay, the next one.
I got to make sure I know all these. Okay. Number two.
We don't have What is it? Chestnuts roasting on an open fire? No. I was proven wrong, and that's... it's called the Christmas song. That is correct. That is the first verse of the song, Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire. It's not that it is the Christmas song.
I'm glad you put Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire in parentheses, because If I just would have saw the Christmas song, I would not have known.
Well, I had to do that because Wednesday we did like the quiz, and I was fact checked during service time, and somebody Googled me, and I was wrong. So, all right, moving on.
All right, number three, ready?
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. That's good. That's good. They got it.
Man.
He's three getting for excited three. Over here. He's like, wow, I can do this from memory.
All right. No, memory. There's never. I don't really play Christmas songs. Okay.
Screwed.
Oh.
That was almost in unison. That
took
was
me
cool.
a second. All right.
That's all right.
This one's going to be...
You know I love to do this to
you. Little tricky.
Little tricky, yeah. It wasn't in English. Okay, moving on to the next one. Number six. They got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just had to get it.
We wanted
weird.
The English version, not the
okay.
Spanish, but
I understand
okay.
my accent.
Number
all
six.
Right.
Frosty the Snowman. Excellent. They got it.
Dude.
That's good. Name that tune in three notes.
We're taking this on
the road. Actually, you got to get the right notes first, but.
All right. Let me think about this one. Hold on.
Which one is it? Winter Wonderland. Walking in a Winter Wonderland. Excellent. Good job. All right, next.
How's this one go? Oh, okay.
Can you give him a little bit of culture? White Christmas. See, all you gotta do is get close. These people know,
close,
even when
that
you're
is
off.
Spot on. That is. All right.
Jingle bells. All right, one more.
All right.
Let it snow, let it snow. Now, wait a minute.
That sounds like the...
Now, do Walking in a Winter Wonderland. Now, do Let It Snow. That's the exact same tune.
Kind of.
Yeah, exact same words. That's awesome. All right, how about a hand for Matt? Good job, Matt.
Forgot to put out my tip jar.
Yeah, don't applaud, just throw money. So when we talk about music, when we talk about songs, music is supposed to tame the savage beast. And then, you know, we learn things by repetition. And then evidently things get old and you get tired of hearing them. And I'm sure every one of you has heard this song. It's a classic. Charles Schulz's Peanuts, Charlie Brown, It's Christmas. Everybody saw this. Roll that beautiful bean footage. Look at that. Everybody knows that one. has no words, no nothing. You just, you hear that. Doesn't it make you want to dance, man?
A lot.
All right, that's enough. Yeah, that's enough of that one. So, that's like the, yeah, like Frankenstein. But you know what happens is those things become old. They become old, and we're like, oh, yeah, skip, skip, skip. Yeah, that's kind of, okay, yeah. Everybody has to redo the same song and do it differently to make it fresh, to make it alive, to make it exciting. And that's what we want to do. I live in fun country. The Bible says in Proverbs, laughter does good like a medicine. I'm always trying to heal people because I love to laugh. I enjoy life. And so what we're going to do is we've taken Peanuts, we've revised it, and I introduce to you Mission Point's Charlie Brown's Christmas. Oh, that's awesome. Love you, Ellen. Gold, Frankenstein, and Tom. Nice face, Eddie. That will be on Facebook after the service, and you can repost that as much as you want to. You know, we love to do some fun stuff. We love to do things, but at the heart of it all, it all revolves around Jesus Christ and our love for Him. And when we think about life 365 days of the year, the Lord should be revitalized in our hearts. We don't need to lose our song for Jesus. Our Christianity should revolve around Jesus Christ year-round. And we should not have lost that song for Jesus. And so sometimes we need to get back to the basics. We need to revitalize. We need to get that song back. How about a little fun facts?
Love fun facts.
Fun facts are good.
Love fun facts. Being in fun country. Did you know, speaking of fun facts, that if you added up to 12 days of Christmas, 12 days of Christmas, da da da, you'd have a good Christmas. You would get 354 gifts if you added up all the 12 days of Christmas.
That's a lot of presents.
Yes, 354 gifts. Someone counted that too, so that wasn't me.
That was a waste of time.
Yep.
Did you know that the song Jingle Bells is not actually a Christmas song? It's a Thanksgiving song. Matter of fact, it was originally created for a church presentation at Thanksgiving. Do you know that? It was actually originally called One Horse Open Sleigh. And then they changed it during Christmas to say Jingle Bells.
I feel like an open sleigh in wintertime would just be awful. Cold.
Yeah. That's old school right there.
Sure. Did you know that Silver Bells was originally called Tinkle Bell? But the writer changed the name after his wife mentioned the double meaning of the word tinkle. So now it's Silver Bells.
What is the double meaning?
I'll tell you when you get a little older.
In 1958, did you know, Brenda Lee first recorded Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree when she was 13 years old. Did you know that?
Yeah, I was there.
You were much older than 13, though, right?
No.
Now, fun fact. This is for, I won't even charge you for this one. When I was growing up, My mother used to take Brenda Lee's Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. And at 5:30 in the morning, I was woken up Christmas morning to that song blaring.
Oh.
It was in the cassette, you know.
5:30 a.m.?
Little cassette tape, you know what that is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The flat thing well, that you put on.
We had tape. We converted over from 8-track to tape. But yeah, yeah. Played blaring, 5:30 in the morning.
Why? What was she?
Presents weren't even fun. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just that's how we woke up. Traditions. People have traditions.
5:30.
And that was
twice.
One of mine.
Yeah, that's cool.
So, yeah.
Did you know the Chipmunk song is the only Christmas song to ever hit number one on the Billboard Hot 100?
Huh.
The Chipmunk song.
The Chipmunk song. That's lovely. Did you know the song We Wish You a Merry Christmas was actually originally designed by servants? They were demanding food and beverages from their masters. Well, especially alcohol.
Okay.
You know, we won't go until we got some. We won't go until it. So bring it out here.
Yeah, yeah.
That was all designed by servants to their masters because they were asking for stuff. So they put it in a song.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you just kept singing it.
They get tired of that. Crazy. Persistence.
Did you know that the Roman Catholic Church condemned the 1952 song, I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus? Do you know why they condemned it? Because they said it promoted adultery. That's why the Catholic Church banned it in 1952. But I did a little more research on that. In the writer's defense, he said that Santa Claus was dad. Since Santa Claus isn't real, so
right.
Hopefully I didn't blow that for anybody watching song online. I just said, Santa's not real. Don't let your kids watch this one.
Eventually
but yeah,
that's
what, so they kind of smooth that's things over.
Funny.
Santa's just dad.
That's
so.
Funny.
Good.
Did you know in How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Thurl Ravenscroft, he was the voice that sang, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He is also the guy that did Tony the Tiger in the Frosted Flakes commercials. Did you know that?
They're great.
Yeah, they're great.
Huh.
No.
I got that. Frosted Flakes. Did you know the song, Do You Hear What I Hear, was written as a call for peace during the Cuban Missile Crisis in 1962? Hmm. The origin of some of these songs is pretty interesting.
Well, they had purpose. They had meaning.
Sure, sure.
Everything was written for a purpose, not just to write a song so you could sing. Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Was written by John Wesley in the 1700s. He wrote more hymns than anybody. He wrote more hymns than any male. I'll say it that way. He wrote, I think, somewhere around 6,000 hymns. Fanny Crosby was the one that wrote the most hymns. I think she wrote somewhere between 8,000 and 9,000 hymns. A little fun fact here.
Wow.
Fanny Crosby. She is also related to the famous Bing Crosby. Yeah, you can fact check that one. Yeah, Tom's back here looking me up now. So yeah, she's actually related to Bing Crosby. So John Wesley, one of the great, just wonderful historical figures of commentaries and Bible translations. And this guy would get up in the morning and he knew 5 different languages and he would read in 5 different languages just so that he did not miss something from Scripture. And we have problems reading just in English translation.
Yeah, I know, English. And...
But he came up with the Christmas song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And you may not know this, but every one of those lyrics is a Bible verse. Did you know that? Now, originally when John Wesley wrote that, it was a little different. He talked about glory to the King of Kings. And then his friend, George Whitfield, he changed a little bit of those lyrics. Glory to the newborn king. And so it was kind of changed over time. And so George Whitfield's version is the one that we sing today. But here's the idea. He did that so that the people who were illiterate and couldn't read and write and the poor folks that couldn't afford Bibles or anything, so that they could learn sound doctrine. Because it was that important for him to make sure that everybody knew what the Bible had to say. That's why That's why they sang. That's why they made these songs, to bring joy. Also doctrine, but to bring joy.
Yeah, and it's amazing how music allows you to remember stuff. I could remember stuff when I was 4 years old. I don't know the song now, but if it started playing, I could sing it. Right? It's wild. I'm a human jukebox.
That's the way they do it.
But joy. So we talked a little bit about, I preached a couple weeks ago, about joy in believing. Right? Mm-hmm. So I hope you're sensing a theme around Christmas and what it means, not just on Christmas, but throughout the entire year, having this joy in believing in Jesus Christ. And getting excited, church. I encourage us to get excited about faith and believing in the good news. Because in that good news, in that faith, in that joy and believing, that's how we get to heaven. That's why we do what we do. And so I'm going to talk a little bit about this song called Joy to the World. Joy, joy. Remember, it's not an emotion. It's not a happiness. It's not a sadness, because those are emotions, right? Those can change on a dime. Joy is a state of being, good, bad, or in between. Joy to the World. This was written by a guy named Isaac Watts in 1719. And at this time, Isaac Watts was arguably the best hymn writer of his day. And this was originally, Joy to the World, was written as a poem, right? And it was paraphrasing Psalm 98. Is actually, if you wanted to trace the history of Joy to the World, it paraphrases Psalm 98. Again, kind of sticking with the, putting it in a song so that you can,
sure.
Psalm 98, here it is, you know.
That's how you learn scripture.
Right, exactly. So it took, this is kind of crazy, it took over 100 years, over a century to become an actual psalm. So to date, Joy to the World is currently, to this day, the most published Christmas hymn in North America. And it's in over almost 2,000 different hymnals. I didn't even know there was that many hymnals available.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah. This song, Joy to the World, we sing it as a Christmas song. It's the most published Christmas song, but it was never actually designed to be a Christmas song at all. It was actually about the second coming of Christ, the return of Jesus Christ. Listen to some of the words. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. In heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Luke 2:11 says this, the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And so when we read the lyrics of Joy to the World, when we sing it, listen, you're going to sing it next year. You're going to sing it the year after. I just turned 37. I've been singing Joy to the World since I could, hear, right? And so we can look back on the birth of Christ with this joy to the world. The Lord has come. But the real purpose, right? The next time that you hear Joy to the World, we can get excited about the birth of our Messiah. Is that me, man? I'm going crazy on this thing.
I don't know. Oh. Is that him or me? Thank you.
Is it me? I don't know what part's doing it. All right, so anyway, Joy to the World. You can get excited about the birth of Jesus Christ, right? That's why we do, it's that good news, that joy, that message. But again, next time you sing it, think about how excited you should be, how much joy you should have in the returning of that Messiah that was born, of Jesus Christ. We should be excited. We should have joy, and it is Joy to the World, labeled as a Christmas song, was a poem. Now it's a song. It's about the second coming of Christ. So as we think of joy in this season, every time we sing that song, we should be excited about Jesus Christ coming back.
It should
be soon, right?
It should be.
It's coming.
So it should be a repetition. Not only are you looking back to Jesus' birthday, but you are looking forward to his second coming. To him come. Are you ready for Jesus to come get us? Amen. I mean, some people probably want to stay in this world and want to get over the stuff so that they can go back to living their life however they want. But give me Jesus.
Sure.
Give me heaven and eternal life.
Yeah.
But as you go through things and as you go through repetition, Isaiah 28, 9 and 10 tells us, precept on precept, precept on precept, line upon line, line upon line. It gets redundant. Things get redundant. In the dictionary, if you look up the word redundant, it says see redundant. Three of you got that one. So as you go through and you're trying to learn and absorb God's word, we want to make sure that during this holiday season, sometimes it's hard. Man, I've lost a lot of friends this year. Yesterday, I lost one of my mentors who trained me. And it's sad, but he's in heaven with Jesus. And that's what I want to be. And I'll join all my family and friends that are there. But don't lose your song. Don't lose your song at this time of the year. And if you need to, go back to Scripture. Go back to the Scriptures. They'll never fail you. And I give you a little handout on the way in. And on here are some of these verses, not all. But 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9. It says, sing to Him. Sing praise to Him. Tell of all His wondrous acts. Do you know if you can't name a gazillion things that God has done, then open your Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, you'll see all the wonderful things God has done. And if He saved you from death and hell, then you can tell of His wondrous works in your life. Does not God do anything in your life? Man, you should have something to sing about. Sing praise. Psalm chapter 40, verse 3 says, He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. And many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in Him. You know, it's when you trust in the Lord that you fear Him. And we need to sing praise about that to everyone we come in contact with. Psalm 59, verse 16 says, But I will sing of your strength. In the morning I will sing of your love. For you are my fortress, my refuge in times of trouble. In the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, are we singing with joy in our heart about all the wonderful things God has done for us? You know, that psalm right there reminds me of one of the most beautifulest hymns. And it's actually on the back of that paper that I give you. I will sing of my Redeemer. And it always reminds me because that chorus portion, sing, oh, sing. And that's every time I hear sing, that pops into my head. And if you know the hymn, I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. Oh, on the cruel cross He suffered from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh, sing of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Did He make you free? Are you free from sin? Are you free from the punishment? Are you free from hell? Man, sing, oh, sing of your Redeemer. You should have a song. Joy. We talk about joy. Have you got joy? Have you got joy, 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 joy? Where? I hope so. Don't lose that song. Man, this is a beautiful hymn. I hope you learn that song. Memorize it. That's a way to get back to having joy. Because we're singing Scripture. You're singing what Jesus has done for you. What a way to do those things. In Psalm 96, verse 1 and 2, the psalmist says, Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. See, when things get repetitious and you do things over and over and over, it gets old. And we stop. You got to revitalize that. You got to get back into having that joy, having those wonderful things. This is the joy that the Apostle Paul had in Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. It was about midnight. And Paul and Silas, they're in prison, and they're praying, and they're singing, and the prisoners were listening to them. And man, when they were getting it, God shook the prison, and the chains fell off. Could you imagine that? What a way to have such a beautiful song deep down inside. In Romans chapter 15, verse 9, Paul says, and moreover, the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. We are Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. We should be glorifying God for His mercy. He says, therefore, I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. We need to praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. That's the whole purpose of a Christian, is to give God glory. That's what we should be doing. I love this one. This is one of my favorites. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 15, he says, "So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding." It's so awesome to go back and learn those hymns. Why the? Did you know, as it is said, I don't know exactly if this is true or not, but it was said that Martin Luther created a way in a manger so that he could have a way to give his children Bible verses so that he could put them to sleep with a lullaby. Does that put purpose and meaning behind the scriptures? "Hark the herald angels sing" is a verse of the Bible. It proclaims Jesus' birth. "Joy to the world" talks so much about Jesus coming and ruling and reigning with a rod of righteousness. Are you ready for someone to rule who is able and apt to do so? This world, well, everybody wants to rule this world, but sinful man can't do it appropriately. Only God can. And I'm waiting for that day when he comes back. Amen. And I want to do everything that I can now so that I'm going to have wonderful rewards. And Jesus said, if you're faithful with a little, you'll be faithful with a lot. And so if I'm faithful with what God has given me in the kingdom, I'm going to be in charge of people. So guess what? If you don't like how I lead you now, wait till the kingdom comes. Better step it up or we're telling you, buddy. We're going to be redoing all this stuff over and over again. But here's the issue. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 and 19, Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine, or is dissipation, or is debauchery." But he says, "Be filled with the Spirit." And it's important to understand that word filled. It's controlled. Let the Spirit of God have control. And he goes on to say this. If you are controlled by the Spirit, or if you are allowing the Spirit to just control your life, then he said you'll be able to speak to one another with psalms and hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. The Spirit of God will put a song in your heart. Allow God to have control. That'll revitalize that song that you need in your heart. Matter of fact, Paul says in Colossians 3:16, "Let the message of Christ, let the word of Christ, let God's word dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts." Here's my question. Are you thankful that Jesus saved you from hell, from your sinfulness? Because that's what you should do. Everything from your heart is out of gratitude for what he's done. We talk about Christmas and how we come and we can't wait to get presents and all this stuff. Paul says in Acts that it's better to give than to receive. But we're always wanting to get. We need to be giving that joy that Christ gave us. But we need to revitalize it as well. We've lost that joy. Have you lost your song? I mean, close with this here. When you saturate your lives with the Word of God, God's Word will never fail you. In Luke chapter 1, verse 37, the NLT says this, "For the Word of God will never fail." It'll never fail. That's why we preach, we teach the Word of God, we counsel from the Word of God. That's why we say you're to live your lives from the Word of God. Your life needs to be saturated with the Word of God. It doesn't matter what happens in this world. Hear from the Word of God is where you get your joy. The Spirit that indwells you, from Christ who saved you. And the centurion knew the Word of God. Jesus' words were powerful. And in Matthew chapter 8, I encourage you to look this up later, verse 5 through 10, when Jesus came to Capernaum, the centurion came to him and he said, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And Jesus said, "Well, let's go. I'll come and I will heal him." And the centurion replied, he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy to even have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority and I have soldiers under me. And I say to one of them, go, and he goes. And I say to another one, hey, come here, and he comes. And I say to another one, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and he said to those that followed him, Truly, I tell you that I have not found such faith in all of Israel than this man. He knew the importance of the Word of God, the authority that Christ has. By his authority, he says, go, make disciples, do this. And we have that authority. We have that joy. We have that peace. We have that love. How can you love one another? Because Christ did, and we're to do as he does. And with his authority, we can do these things. I think we have lost so much that some have just, I don't know whether it's repetition, I don't know whether it's hearing the same message, the same story, the same whatever. But in John chapter 6, Jesus was giving his disciples and many of the people that followed him some hard information. You got to drink my blood and eat my flesh, or you have to, what? What the heck are you talking about? And in John 6:6:6, you'll never forget that verse. But in John 6:6:6, some of the disciples heard what he had to say, and it was hard for them to understand. And they turned and they walked away from Jesus and never followed him again. So then Jesus turns to the 12 and he says, hey, are you going to do the same thing? And you know what Peter said? In John 6, verse 68, he said, where are we going to go, Lord? You've got the words of eternal life. You've got the words of life. That's why we go back to Scripture. That's why we preach and teach. That's why I try to have 35 verses every service in my messages. Because I want to make sure that you are saturated with the Word of God. And as the Bible says, repetition, repetition. The more you hear those words, the more they'll be ingrained. Just like songs. Songs that you've heard for years. People that are 80 and 90 years old have heard songs so long ago. And you hear it played on the radio and you just start singing with it as it's natural. That's just how it is. We need to hear it first over and over to get it back. That's how we get the joy back, is bringing all that stuff that you've learned back up to be fresh and foremost. It comes from the Word of God. It comes from Jesus. Well, Jesus is the Word of God. John 1 calls, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's from the Word. It's from God. And it's from Jesus, from his Word, that we find salvation. We find hope. We find peace. He is the Prince of Peace, Isaiah says. It's where we find our refuge. It's where we find our strength. He is our song for those that put their trust in him. He should be our song. Do you trust him? Have you lost your song? I encourage you to get back to the Bible. Be saturated with the Word of God. And then you will sing, oh sing, a fresh and a new song. Again, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for our time. Thank you for the fun, the excitement, the love, the music, the everything that you give us, Lord, is just from your love. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who we highlight this time of the year from, he was the only man literally born to die. You gave everything for us. And Lord, may we remember that in this upcoming year that we need to give back to you. Out of a grateful heart, we need to give back to you. Father, we love you so much. And though Christmas is a live and a festive time of year, may we continue to keep our focus on Jesus Christ, being saturated with your word, so that we may never lose the joy, joy, joy that you have down in our hearts. We love you, Lord, and we commit this invitation to you, and we just pray you'd have your way, and we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.